This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. This morning's Israel Report is brought to you by Professor Eitan Gilboa. He's from the Center for International Communications. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can we start with what is happening in Damascus? We are seeing reports of IDF operations in Damascus. There even seems to be IDF presence on the ground. What do we know about this?
Good morning, Howard. There are two issues here. Number one, the new government of Syria is not fully controlling the territory of Syria. There are all kinds of areas and pockets somebody else is controlling. In this particular case, the IDF, based on foreign sources, conducted an operation in an area that was controlled by Iran. And the major goals of the operation, number one, to destroy whatever equipment is still there that that perhaps Iran's agents might be using, because obviously Iran lost Syria, but still is trying to regain some influence there. And they have had all kinds of bases and areas under their full control. This is one of them. And the second thing was to find documents, to find reports that could shed light about Iranian activities during the long period of their own control and influence in Syria. So these were the two main goals of the land operation. You can do so much from the air, and the Israeli Air Force has been destroying equipment and areas that were fully controlled by Iran or even by the Syrian army. We are talking about strategic weapons, all kinds of things that could have directed against Israel. And there's perhaps also another reason, and that is to continue to secure the air corridor to Iran. During the war with Iran in June, last June, Israel had a free corridor in the sky going into Iran, and one of the reasons one other reason for the operation last night was to make sure that this corridor remains free in case you need to use to attack again Iran.
So could this signal a shift in terms of strategy towards something more proactive?
Yes, there are secret negotiations between Israel and Syria with American participation. The goal is, or the intermediate goal is, to achieve some kind of a security agreement, we call it a non-belligerent agreement, which means the two sides would refrain from using force one against the other, and the ultimate goal, or the more the distant goal, is to bring Syria into the Abraham Accords. So. On the one hand, Israel is perhaps even helping the government of Ahmad Shara to restore some of his own control over areas that he is still not sufficiently controlling, and on the other hand, prevent Iranian recovery in Syria, and also there is another dimension here. As you may know, Turkey has been behind or strongly supporting the revolution, the counter revolution, the revolution in Syria, helping to bring another government there. And Israel is concerned about Turkey's attempts to build for themselves some military assets in Syria. So that's another message to Turkey that Israel would not tolerate that kind of perhaps replacing Iran as a foreign power influencing and dictating policies for the new government of Syria.
So, and the fact that we've heard very little condemnation from Syria, does this indicate that perhaps Syria were either aware of this or even comfortable with Israel's actions here?
Exactly. I think that in certain ways, this is helping the new government in Syria. Because of the things I mentioned earlier. Number one, there is a need to clean those areas previously controlled by Iran. And the second thing is to prevent Iran from recovery there. Right. And so, see, the government of Syria is still weak. Mm. It is weak. Mm. And there were, as you know, there were massacres of Alawis and Druze. We have Israel has a major challenge with the Druze because the Druze community in Israel demands that Israel protects their own brothers and sisters living across the border in Syria, in southern Syria, and certain jihadist groups. Have been conducting massacres of Kurds. The government says it does not control those groups. There are all kinds of questions about that, but so Israel is committed to protect the Druze, and is still occupying certain posts inside southern Syria beyond the 1974 ceasefire borders. And this is done, number one, as a response to the Israeli Druze pressure, but also because Israel would like to prevent those jihadi groups, Hezbollah groups. There are still some remaining Hezbollah groups from Lebanon in Syria, trying to undermine the new government there, especially in the south. And so Israel is trying to make sure that that they are not successful in restoring some of their military power inside the area. And I can tell you that the present negotiations between Israel and the new government of Syria deals exactly with these kind of issues.
Right. It's certainly going to be something to watch. What I also wanted to discuss with you is the hunger figures and the accuracy of those figures in Gaza. There's been a report recently that suggests that the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, the IPC, which is a UN-backed body, they declared a famine in Gaza City and the area, but those numbers and that data is being rejected. Can you take us through this?
Yes, it took some time, but we now have a report that completely refutes the UN report about famine in Gaza. First of all, careless use of data, especially data that is provided by the Gaza Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. which is completely controlled by Hamas, and therefore disseminates information that that Hamas approves. Number one. Number two, we found out that members of those who conducted the research are very anti-Israel. They have a record of hostility toward Israel, making all kinds of statements about Israel, which are very, very problematic. And so you combine methodology and the people who conducted the report, and you get a false report that is very far removed from what is happening on the ground. There are pockets of hunger in Gaza, and the reason for that is Hamas, not Israel.
Sure.
Because Hamas is still stealing humanitarian aid. And I must add that the UN itself, UN bodies have recently confirmed that Hamas is stealing food and sells it simply to fund its own soldiers and ammunition. And therefore, if there are pockets of hunger in Gaza, Hamas is responsible. So the UN report has accused only Israel. And this is another false claim that this organization has been making.
So now that there is this counter data that proves that this report is not accurate, certainly we don't expect the world and media around the world to act on it, but the United Nations would have a responsibility to respond to this. And if this clearly shows that these figures have been corrupted and used either, as you say, carelessly or even deliberately to follow a political agenda, what is the responsibility of the United Nations in this regard?
You expect too much of the United Nations. United Nations is itself a corrupt, rotten, highly politicized organization, useless organization. If you look at their reports about Gaza, you will find many contradictions. You will find the same things that I've been talking about: poor methodology, biased and hostile researchers and officials. So I don't expect anything from them. I don't expect much from the liberal Western media, because they like to blame Israel for everything that happens, not only in Gaza, in the entire Middle East. There is still this notion in Western Europe, for example, that only if the Arab-Israeli, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is established and the Palestinian state is established, the Middle East will become the most quiet region on earth.
Yes,
and obviously this is a stupid assumption about what has happened here in the last, especially in the last 20-25 years. So I don't expect accurate media coverage. Even if you find some outlet citing the finding of the report I mentioned earlier that completely destroys the main arguments and data of the UN organization, it would appear on page, I don't know, 8 somewhere at the bottom of the page, compared to when the first UN report was released, that appeared on page 1 with much space given to it.
Yeah, and that is exactly what will happen in all likelihood. Well, that is all we have time for, Professor Eitan Gilboa. Thank you, as always, Professor Eitan Gilboa from the Center of International Communications.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.